Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Well, good morning, Central. It is my joy to get to come and join in this series called Ceasefire, and I celebrate just like you, Pastor Craig and Vibka, and how the Lord has brought great healing to them. As I was here this morning, I was over just in the chapel preaching, but I was able to be in here and see them when I first walked in, and my spirit inside me just jumped when I saw Craig and how good he's doing and how he's feeling, and being able to talk to him about just feeling so restored. And that is all glory to the Lord God Almighty, and thank you for your prayers for him. It's just so awesome, just so wonderful, because God has a big calling on that dude's life, and his thinking and his worldwide thinking for the Lord is just incredible. It's fun to see that and hear that. I tell him all the time, I could not do what you do with his capacity to understand things. And so it's just awesome to see how the Lord is restoring and healing him. And I thank the Lord for that. And today I get to join in this series called Ceasefire. And it's going to be pretty challenging this morning. I'm going to call you to a new level. I'm going to push you to be uncomfortable this morning, thinking about someone that you need to experience ceasefire and peace with. Obviously, our sister church in Ukraine is part of what this series is built around. Just they're literally dealing with the physical attacks upon them. And we aren't dealing necessarily with that today, but we are dealing with our own areas of ceasefire that we need to work on in our individual lives. And I'm going to ask you today to look at your life and to ask yourself this question. When I'm around people, when I walk in our room, when I'm around my family, when I walk into the office, wherever it is you go, walking in here today, am I a peacemaker or am I a peace taker? It's a simple question. Like when people see you coming, do they go, oh, you bring me peace in their spirit? Or do they go, oh, I can't wait till you leave? Just one or the other. I've quite often said our homes, this is a really big deal in our homes. I know back in the day when I was early writing marriage messages and we did that thing called the Necessary Nine that we took around the country, I remember saying at the end of the day, when you hear a garage door, if you have one of those and it starts going up, you hear the little ching, garage door going up, and that's your spouse coming home or one of your kids coming home. Either your spirit inside goes, oh, good, they're safe, or you go, shoot, they made it. You say that's not realistic. It was for me as a kid growing up with my father. It would be like, shoot, it's terrible. But that was the thought I had because he was a peace taker. We could have a really peaceful home thing going on with my mom, and then he would walk in and bring the anti-peace. So today I'm going to ask you which one you are. Peace takers don't like to admit it. But I'm going to push you and consider, what could I do to bring more peace to a situation in my life, in my family, at the workplace? You pick it. You pick it. We're going to go to the story of written by a man named Paul in the book of Romans. And I have to first say, I've been studying Paul a lot. I've been reading his writings. And I don't know if you realize this, but in the Bible, all of Paul's books that are in the Bible, they're put in the Bible by length. They're not in there chronologically. They're in the order of longest to the shortest. So sometimes you will read a book of Paul and go, man, there seems to be more maturity in this chapter, but it's later or earlier. It's put in there not chronologically. So if you read Paul's writings chronologically, you would see a maturity in his life from his younger years to his later years. And this Romans passage, there's a lot of maturity. And he gets up to Romans chapter 12, and he's talking about being a living sacrifice. This dude has gone through some incredible surrender, painful surrender. I was just reading this week about Paul's journey from Jerusalem to Rome and the pain that he went through going from one place to the other. I sometimes look and go, God, you could have taken him there so much easier. Like let him take this route. And no, he would be taken on this journey that involved a lot of pain and sacrifice. And Paul earned the credibility to write Romans chapter 12 to us because of what he had been through. And he says to us as people sitting in 2023, Come on, step up your game. Be living sacrifices. You're serving a holy, awesome God. Surrender to Him. That's what He says to us. And it's not easy. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is not the passage we're focusing on today, but I want to read it to you or quote it to you. It says, "Do not any longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed from that." Don't conform to the world's pattern. And you know, people quite often say, "Well, just read scripture." Okay, I can read that, and then it keeps going. But what does that mean? What's Romans 2? When he says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world," he doesn't give the specific what that pattern is. So I sat on that little stool in my office, and I was like, "Lord, what does that mean? Why'd Paul write that? What's he talking about, the pattern of this world?" That was back in the day, and now in 2023, what's the pattern of this world that Paul's referring to? And these two words came to me. They're not all encompassing. They're not going to cover it all, but I began to think about what is the pattern of this world? And I think there's two words that sum it up pretty clear. Here's what I think they are. Me first. Me first. I want what I want when I want it. I want to do what I want to do, specifically for us. I'm American. I can do whatever I want. I have the freedom to do whatever I want. And I say to you, yes, American is freedom, but God's is not that way of thinking. Those are two different patterns of thinking. It is not a me first when it comes to God's kingdom. Paul did not live a me first lifestyle and do what he wanted to do. He was completely surrendered to the work of the Father. That's a whole different gig. Jesus came along and said, "Me last." He broke the pattern of the world. And today, I'm going to ask you to break a pattern in your life where you've been a peace taker. And I'm going to call you to be a peacemaker. And that verse is in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It's coming up on the screen. I'm going to read it slowly and let you think about it, if it is possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Pastor Steve preached last week. I know he wrapped the message up. We were talking this week. He wrapped it up, just referenced this verse. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And then there's the reference down to the bottom right. Leave that up a second, if you will. I did not build this screen. I didn't put this screen together. I just sent the notes here to Central, and they put this together. I always do such a beautiful job with the graphics, but this one, to me, this is so perfect, because see that big old space there on the left, like underneath the verse? Whose face comes up? Like, there's a lot of room there. Who's the person that you go, "I struggle with this person"? When I saw this, I thought, y'all left room and didn't even know it. For us to take a moment and go, who do I consider it impossible to have peace with? And let me show you something. This verse says, if it is possible. That tells me there will be times it's impossible. You won't be able to do it. But don't run there and go, yeah, that's my situation. Don't run there yet. I referenced the time in the chapel I want to mention here, because it came to me as I was preaching over there. When I served here as youth pastor 30 years ago, I remember something happened with Pastor Paul. We were up in his office area, and my office back in the day, Pastor Paul's office was right here, and mine was just kitty corner right there. We were connected through the wall. Pastor Paul's office was here. His office was this dignified, formal, all these formal chairs. Mine was video games. It was awesome. I'd look in there and go, ooh, I'd hate that, and then walk in my video game world. And one day I was in my office, and Pastor Paul was in there, and there was a dude in there screaming at him. He was yelling all kind of junk at Paul. It was crazy, and I could hear it through the wall. And I got up out of my office, and some of you know me enough to know those kind of situations, I don't slaunter away. I kind of walked into Paul's office. I'm like, what's going on in here? And this guy just screaming at Paul. how bad he is, what an awful preacher he is, a terrible leader he is. He's just going off on him. And I remember standing there going, this is crazy. This dude is out of control. And he left after a while. He finished his thing and I said something like never coming back or whatever, you know. And then he left and it was just me and Paul in his office. I remember Paul going, I don't think he's ever going to come back here. And I said, well, I hope not. I mean, I'm a 30-year-old youth pastor going, boot him out, man. Let's get him out. Paul's like, well, he needs to be here. I'm like, no, he doesn't. He's a freak. And we were laughing. I was laughing. I'm like, Paul, let him go. And I remember Paul saying something like, well, if it's possible, I'm gonna try to make this thing work. And I remember going, you're crazy. Because there are times in life where it's literally impossible to get somebody to even communicate or talk with you. I remember thinking, that won't ever happen. What happened with Paul won't ever happen with me. Then it did. I'm like, what the world? And some of you have that person in your life. You have a situation in your life where you've not been able to create a ceasefire because you just can't. There's no words. And I want to show you something about the word impossible. It's coming up on the screen. I want you to see something. You know, when you're in an impossible situation, like if I've been Paul that day, he didn't say these things, I would have said, well, I'm sure I'm right this time. And I'm sure if people could hear the whole story, they'd agree with me. And I'm certain this one's not my fault. Do you notice there's a lot of I'm in there? And if you take the I'm off the word possible, then it becomes possible. And I just want to say to you today, take a moment, look at your life and go, what can I bring to this situation? What? Forget about everybody else. What could I do to bring peace? Because our verse says, as far as it depends on who? You. Not them. You. And Paul was saying this, listen, this man had experienced what he was talking about. And he's saying to us in 2023, hey, y'all, I need to say something. My life's been tough. My journey has included an incredible amount of pain and surrender. And this isn't easy, but I'm going to write it down because someday I want you to be a living sacrifice for Jesus when I'm no longer here. He's going to need that example of you in the years to come, like in 2023. And it begs a couple of questions as I look at this verse. The first question in my mind that it begs is this: am I really dead to all the self in me? Let me say the verse again. As far as it depends on you, this picture, this person that's come up in your mind, if there needs to be a ceasefire, are you doing all you can do to bring that about? We're getting really close to the times of year when all of family gets together. Are you bringing a ceasefire to that? We're going to go into a season real soon in our nation where two sides are going to be picking who they think is the best. And I predict we will see one of the most foolish attacks back and forth and nonsense. There won't be a ceasefire on social media related to all the political humdrum that's coming our way. And I'm asking you, as a believer in the Lord God Almighty, can you rise above it and make sure that you have a ceasefire spirit with the people around you? It's challenging. This is not easy stuff. But it's next level stuff. It's raising our bar from here to here. I don't serve this world. I serve the Most High God. And Paul said to do that, you got to be a living sacrifice. And you might be one who sometimes like me says, well, you know, 99% of this problem is not me. I'm good. I'm not the issue. I'm not the one bringing the animosity. You know, as far as it depends on me, 99% of me is good. I may have 1% in me that's not bringing that ceasefire spirit. There might be in this situation going on with my spouse. I'm 5% wrong, but they're 95% wrong. I want to show you, look at the amount of water in this pitcher. All I got to do is drop just a couple little drops in, and I want you to watch what happens. The whole jar becomes tainted. 2 drops. And it's going to end up tainting the whole jar. You say, well, I've only got 2 drops in here that are negative. Watch. Watch what happens over time. I'm going to sit this over on that stool. By the end of this service, this whole pitcher is going to have tainted reddish water in it. Because of 2 drops. Today you need to surrender those 2 drops. That's called being a living sacrifice, and it's hard. It's hard. It takes work. I'm sitting here a little bit because some of you know a step you need to take this morning. Some of you are in marriage today, you've tainted it. And you need to own it and accept it. The second little point coming up on the screen is stop thinking about them and what they need to do and focus on what you can do. What could you do today to bring a ceasefire spirit in your home right now? Like in the car on the way home, how could you have a ceasefire? Let me say something. Let me say something very bold right here. My dad did not bring a ceasefire spirit. He brought a perpetuate the problem spirit. 2 things I want to say. Number one, if you're in an abusive situation, I'm not telling you to surrender and keep being abused. If you're hearing that out of my mouth, you're not hearing me speak clearly and accurately. We have a counseling center. If you need help for abuse that you're facing and going through, call us. We'll seek to help you. I grew up with a mom who was abused. And after a sermon like this, I'm just going to tell you what would happen because I want to be careful here. After a sermon like this, dad sitting beside her, he'd be calm and stuff in the church. He'd be calm sitting there. But as soon as we got in that car, he would unload on her because these kind of services and sermons can bring that out. You know you need to change. The one of you that does not bring a ceasefire spirit, your spirit inside you is wrestling. And then you'll take that out in the car on the people home, you know, going home, you'll take it out on them. Please don't do that. If you want to go off on somebody, figure out how to send a note to me and just go off on me. But don't take that on your family. It's not their fault. And my dad used to do that. And he was the one that was actually causing the problem, and he blamed it all on my mother. And I'm telling you today that I have a heart for those of you who are sitting here who have that spirit inside you that's not doing well, etc. I have a heart. That's why I preach this message today, because I want you to know there's a better way. My dad's gone, but I told him toward the end of our life, I held his hand. We rode in the car together. I've told you this. I held the hand that hit my mom. And I said to him, Dad, I can't believe I'm holding your hand. This is the hand that caused me so much trauma. And he would say, I know. I can't go back. Sorry. He didn't fully understand it all. And I know today that somebody in here who doesn't bring a ceasefire spirit, you don't even want to be that way. You wish you weren't. I'm asking you to reach out for help. You've tried to fix it. You don't want to be that way. You've even gone to the altar about it. And I'm asking you today to understand that the Jesus that I come and preach about is the one who can help you and give you guidance through steps to grow in this area. And I also know that there are clinicians. I've been around them now. I'm a preacher. I'm not a counselor. I have watched so much wisdom come out of some of our counselors to help someone who's struggling with this. I look back. I wish my dad would have been able to get some help, because my dad at 80-something realized, man, I could have done that a lot better. And I'm speaking to those of you today who do not bring a ceasefire spirit. I want to help you. I'm not out to get you. I'm not mad at you. I want to create a place and a space where you feel you can get some healing and some help, because that's who Jesus came for, the brokenhearted, the hurting, the failures, the faulty. Jesus came for you. He's not out against you. He wants to help you. And I have that same spirit inside me today. I have forgiven my father. And I realize now that God was using all that to get me to this place where maybe I could bring a message of hope. And I want you again to hear the verse, as far as it depends on you. So today, own that. And the reason, I wrote down a couple reasons we don't like to own this. Why is it so hard to do, you know, want to point at others? Why is it so hard to face myself and want to point at others? Here's what I put down. Number one, if I can put it on you, then I don't have to deal with it myself. So true. We want to put it on somebody else, because then, oh good, I wash my hands up. I don't have to deal with it. I'll go over here and pretend there's nothing wrong. Don't do that. Own it. Look at yourself and say, I'm going to do it. Secondly, I put, just taking responsibility for your own faults and mistakes and weaknesses is hard. And it requires the word I'm focusing on by Paul this morning. It requires surrender. You got to give in. I was talking with somebody last week, literally said these words out of their mouth. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And I remember thinking, that's so hard, because it's going to take you to an even darker place. I was speaking in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I want to tell you what happened. I was speaking to a group of people in the Charlotte area at a convention. And after I spoke, another gentleman came up to speak right behind me. It was back-to-back speakers, so I left the stage. He walked on the stage, and I sat down to listen to him. And he shared this story. He was a counselor. And he said, I want to tell you what happened with me and a couple who walked in my office just a few days ago. He said, this husband and wife walked into my office, and he said, if a person could have burst at the seams, then she was very close to it just walking in. Not size, anything like that. He said, just the stress, the pressure, you could just tell she wanted to explode. He said, they walked in as a couple. She's just trying to get through it. They sit down on the couch. He said, I didn't even bring up any opportunity for her to speak anything about her husband, because I knew if I did, it would just be a scoop. So he said, I left it all alone. He said, we got to the end of the first session. I just was meeting them and that sort of thing. He said, and then he said, I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I can tell that you're holding a lot in. And he said, so what I want you to do is, I'm going to give you this little legal pad, and I'd like you to take it home. And I want you to write down those issues you're struggling with your husband. Just write them down for me. I think it's going to help you to get those out. Just write those down. So he gave her the book. They left, came back a week later. He said, they walk in the office. He's got a little bag sitting over there. He said, I begin to talk to him, share with him. He said, and then halfway through the session or so, I looked at her. I said, ma'am, I told you last week to take that little legal pad and share with me, you know, what it is you'd like to share about your husband. Do you have that with you? She's like, oh, I got it. So she pulled it out. He said, she handed it to me, and this one isn't that way. But he said, you know, when you write front, he said, she wrote front and back, all the grievances about her husband, 77 pages. He said, it was like, whoa, okay. She handed it to him, and he said, I'm just flipping through it going, wow. And he said, I began to talk to them about where we needed to start, and we needed to start with forgiveness and surrender. He said, I talked with them about what forgiveness looks like and how it's the first step. And he said, I finished my spiel, what I wanted to share with them, and then I looked at the husband and I said, do you have anything to say? And he shared a few thoughts of areas where he needed to work and surrender and grow. And he said, I turned to her. He said, I turned to her with great risk. He said, I did not know what was going to happen. I turned to her and I said, "Ma'am, would you like to say anything?" And he said, she looked at me for a bit and then said, "Can I have that legal pad?" And he said, so I handed it back to her. He said, then she looked at me and said, "Do you have a trash can?" And he said, I showed her where it was over behind my desk. And he said, she stood up and she walked over to the trash can. And he said, she began to literally start tearing out page by page the pages that she had written. He said, she took the first one out and threw it in the trash can and said, "Well, I got to forgive all that. Because if we're ever going to get anywhere, it's going to start with me throwing away these things I'm holding against him." Who you got a legal pad on today? Let me make this real personal. There was a book like that, filled with bad stuff about Dan Seaborn, that Jesus could have held against me forever. And every now and then, there's still something I could write in there and go, "Jesus, I failed you again." And he said to me, "Dan, I forgive you of all that. You're my son. I won't hold that book of failures against you. In fact, I'll take and I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life instead of that legal pad. I forgive you, Dan." And the word teaches us, if we want Jesus to forgive us, we got to forgive others. So today I'm saying to you, whose legal pad are you holding and writing grievances about that you need to have a ceasefire and say, "I'm surrendering it and I'm laying it at the feet of Christ because I can't do this anymore." I want to just say to you, I didn't think this message was going to be this intense. But I'm asking you today to look at your life and say, where do I need to lay something down? My last little point is, I control my response, but I don't control theirs. Paul never allowed what other people did to decide how he acted. He pre-decided, this is how I'm going to act because I'm here for the Father. And I want you to know that this world and the me first spirit is what you deal with and you're around almost 24/7. We come in here for about an hour, hour and a half, and we break that little pattern of me firstness. We come in here and we sing him first and we give glory to his name and we praise him and we sing all that stuff. And then we walk right back into a me first culture. And it's so easy to be influenced by it. And all of us are. Me too. So I say to you today, I ask you at the beginning of the message, I ask you this question: are you a peacemaker or are you a peace taker? And I want to show you, I wrote down a few differences between the two. You ready? A peacemaker heals, a peace taker hurts. A peacemaker assumes the best, a peace taker assumes the worst. A peacemaker brings security. A peace taker brings chaos. A peace taker, we love to see him coming. A peacemaker, we love to see him coming. A peace taker, we love to see him going. A peace taker will dissolve issues. I'm saying it wrong. A peacemaker will dissolve issues. A peace taker will dramatize issue. A peacemaker will have an eternal perspective. And a peace taker will live for the temporal. And I'm just asking you, as you look at your life, which one are you? Let's surrender that legal pad. Let's surrender the things that we know that aren't helping those around us. Man, again, wow. Jesus, go and get in the cars with us as we drive home today. go into our houses as we walk into them today, go into our lunch times today, go into our circumstances today, come alongside us, let the Parakletos that you promise us, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, let it go and walk with us. Jesus, I'm just going to close this message out in prayer. I'm asking you to help us be surrendered people. We are going right back into an environment that pushes us so hard to be about ourselves. Come today, let something change. Take us to a new level. Let us be a living sacrifice. You need us. You need us to do this in the culture we live in. It's becoming more bickering and more fighting. Let us be people who bring such calm and peace to the chaos that people take note and say, I want more of what you got. And let that start in our house. Help me today to go home and be more like you. Watch over us today. Let a peace and a calm reign in our spirit. And I give you this audience, and I ask you to bless them, those online as well. Just come and let your spirit do what only you can do. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Next week, come back. The series will continue. Thank you so much for being here today. I'll stay down here for a minute. If somebody wants to speak or talk, I'll hang out with you a minute. We don't have a lot of time, but I don't want to just make you feel like you're done and you got to walk out. If you want to come down and pray a minute, I'm going to open that altar up for you just to come and kneel and bring something to the Lord. But you are dismissed. You may go. Thank you for being here this morning.